Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Studio G and the Discussions for Women in Leadership, where we focus on how the styles and principles of an Omega leader can influence leadership. We will be back with you shortly to start this week's show in just a few minutes.
Good morning. This is Laurie Beth Jones of the self-named Laurie Beth Jones Blog Talk Radio Show. And this morning, I have as my wonderful guest, Gay Lindfors, who is a multi-certified PATH trainer and is a delight. We've been friends for how many years, Gay, now?
About 8 or 9.
Yeah, 8 or 9. I think she was at one of the first PATH workshops I ever did.
And it was wonderful.
It is. Thank you. And she has written a book called Find a Job, The Little Book for Big Success. And I actually gave it to a friend of mine who had just been laid off. And she said it was just chock full of wonderful tips. And this morning, we are talking about how to create an organization that makes people want to come to work. So,
yes.
Gay, take it away.
Well, thanks, Laurie Beth. It's always fun being with you on this call, and I appreciate so much the messages and the products that you have developed over the years, because I believe that by using them, reading them, studying them, we will indeed make it easier for people to want to show up at work, bosses and employees. So I think there are three key components of creating this organization, and I will just list them, the three of them just quickly here. First of all, you want to hire the best team, then give them a reason to do their best, and then stand back and let them be their best. So when I think about hiring this best team, this for me is all about, let's make sure we understand the individuals, the candidates' purpose, their values, what gets them out of bed in the morning, and then what is their style, which goes, of course, into your four elements work, Laurie Beth.
Right. Now, just for the listeners, just a little background on Gay. She was head of personnel, right, for Northwest Airlines?
Director of Human Resources, that's right.
Director of Human Resources. How many people were you responsible for?
I had 12,000 people in my customer group. Didn't know them all.
So Gay knows what she's talking about.
Yep, yep. And I've worked with smaller organizations and individual business owners as well. And I think when it boils down to it, we're all looking for the same thing. How do we create a place of work where people actually want to show up?
So when you talk about, let's take each one of these and break it out. Hiring the best team, what do you look for? What, you were in HR. How did you go about
right.
doing that?
One of the questions that I always had in the back of my mind was, who's the farmer? And growing up in a small town in northwestern Minnesota, I worked a lot and lived with farmers. And, you know, when the cows have to be milked, the cows have to be milked. When it's ready to harvest, you got to bring the grain, and you can't say, don't think I'm going to do that today. So there's this work ethic that I attribute to farming and working out in the land, that you have to show up and work. And, of course, we know that it's not just farmers that have that work ethic, but I think that paints a good picture for us. Who do we want on our team? Someone who will milk the cows.
And, you know, it's hard to believe, but I, as I consult organizations around the country, I still encounter people who will sit there and say, that's not my job. Or
right.
I heard of one woman who had been set up in a home office, and her fax machine wouldn't work because the cord didn't reach the wall. It's like, move the table.
right. It is easy to get into that trap. And, you know, if you were
right.
a dairy farmer, well, Bessie's not going to be very happy with you for very long. So, you know, what's that work ethic? And then you really need to look at their styles. And we look at our four elements here that you've developed, the wind, the water, the fire, or the earth. Where do they work best? What kind of tasks are they going to be most comfortable in? And let's make sure we're hiring to their strengths in a position that's going to make us as the business owner and company successful at the same time.
Well, you know, it's funny because going back to this individual, I knew that she was talented, but they were asking her to do things like make robocalls. And so looking at her strengths, I said, you know, what we really need to do is get her involved in travel. There's a lot of travel and conferences. And as soon as they set her to that task, I mean, she became a workaholic. I mean, looking up conferences, you know, doing real diligent research. So really, it's so important. And she's a wind. So a wind is going to sit there and say, the cord does not reach. If I have to sit facing a wall making robocalls, I can tell you right now.
That's right. That's right. And quite often in teams, I think the element that can be the least appreciated is the earth. That person who wants, they are going to be diligent, they're going to get the work done, they're steady eddy, and yet oftentimes in organizations, we want and expect everyone to move fast. Get it done now. Yeah. Get it done. You know, move forward. And you need an earth on your team, as you have told us many times. So hire the best team.
Well, let me just share this real quick.
Yeah.
Speaking to your farm analogy, you know, roosters and hens, the roosters are the ones that get all the attention. They crow and they have the pretty feathers and they scratch in the dirt and they attack everybody. But the hens are out there just laying away.
They're doing the work.
That's right.
That's right. And we need both.
That's right.
Yep.
Exactly.
That's right. Well, then after you've hired the best team, then my suggestion is give that team a reason to do their best. And this has to do with making the connection between their work and the values of the organization, and also making sure that they understand how they make a difference and giving them a place to belong. So when we think about the purpose of the work, do they understand the difference that their work is going to make? A number of years ago, maybe 25 years ago, I worked in a manufacturing plant, and we built camper trailers. Now, building camper trailers was not in my bucket list as a young girl. That's something I wanted to do when I grew up with, you know, the hammers and the nails and the guns and all that kind of stuff, the guns that we used to tack things on, and that just wasn't what I wanted to do. However, I knew that we were building those trailers because the money that we'd bring in would support missionaries. So that, I worked the night shift. I did whatever I could. But I understood the connection between my values and the work that I was doing. We have to create that in our environment for our employees. And then second to that, I suggest that we think of our workforce in terms of community and relationships. I like to call it potlucks, PTA, and pictures. What are we doing to create a place to belong? Not family, but a place of community. Are we engaging them? Do we know the names of their kids in smaller organizations or on your team? Give them a reason to do their best.
I love that.
You know, and if I could just add, there was a survey done back in 2009 at the end of the year, and they asked executives why they would leave their organizations. The number one reason was the employer's poor values. It wasn't because they were leaving for more money. And they also asked them why they would stay at a job, and the number one reason was a good cultural fit. Again, it wasn't because that's where they got the most money. Very telling.
Very telling. And culture is something that we could write a book. We probably should write a book together about that someday.
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
Culture
makes such a difference.
Is so important. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about the stand back and let them be their best.
Yes, my number one gripe for my colleagues in the human resources professional, and I consider myself part of the group and part of the former problem, is we create policies. We create policies that just make it difficult sometimes to be the best of who we can be at work. The best example I have is what we sometimes call the bereavement policy or the funeral leave policy. And we list all these different people that we can get 3 days paid time off if the person who died is one of these, fits into this category, and we list them all. And there's a part of me that has always rebelled against that because I think, who is this policy to be the one to tell me that these are the most important people in my life and I should be able to take time off? So I think that's just an example of policies that can get in our way. We need to let our employees be their best, assume that they are going to make the best decisions. Each have individual styles, and let them be who they are. Let them show up at work doing their best work without leaving their emotions and their personality at home.
Now, some of the companies that you've worked with in the past, what are some of the best and worst examples of what you're talking about here?
One of the worst examples comes to my mind. It was when I was at Northwest Airlines, and I loved the people there, loved my work. One of the disagreements, should I say, that I was trying to work with was between one of our managers and a flight attendant. And we spent hours because they were disagreeing about the color of the flight attendant's nail polish. The policy said red, and she had the wrong shade of red, apparently.
Oh, my goodness.
And I thought, oh, my word, I'm in a world that I'm a little bit lost. But that was, again, the policy was getting in the way of just doing our work. And, of course, it became a power struggle after that. Neither one was the manager or the flight attendant was going to be wrong. But,
right.
But that's an example of where policies just can get in the way. I have also worked with a company where, for instance, their bereavement policy, again, is use your best judgment. You know, if the great aunt who raised you dies,
right.
but she's not on the list, take the 3 days that you need to just celebrate her life, grieve the loss. There's more flexibility in it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I also think of these individual styles. You know, you've got to communicate. Let them be their best. Communicate with them. And here my example. I always go back to Ben Cartwright, right? Little Joel Austin Adam, for those of us in our generation. He had three very different sons, and
he knew
how to work with each one of them. And our workforces are filled with Little Joes, Hosses, and Adams, and we need to relate to them in the way that they want to be related to.
So what's an example of a successful reading of a personality and then kind of breaking through somehow with that?
Sure. There was one, when I was still working in corporate America, I had an employee who we loved working with her. She was the life of the office, always had a good story, and it was always embellished and exaggerated to just make it, you know, we would just roll over laughing at her stories. And she was in the administrative assistant position, but she had trouble staying focused, and she didn't like people telling her exactly what to do, and she would just get distracted. And there was complaints started coming through, and I thought, okay, Gay, you have an option here. You can either choose to put her on the standard performance improvement plan because she's not meeting expectations, or you can talk to her about, you know, what is it about this work environment that she's liking and that she's not liking, and talk about it in terms of her stories rather than being black and white, bullet by bullet, this is what's not working. And she and I talked about that, and we ended up at a good place. She recognized she wanted to move into training where she could be in front of an audience, where she could use her gifts. And so we helped make that happen. But it was more about what did she need to hear from me rather than what did I need to tell her.
Oh, that listening is so important. And we just have less than a minute now. And so I want to tell people if they're interested in Gay's book, which I highly recommend now that so many people are out of work or maybe not happy with the work that they do. Her book is called Find a Job, The Little Book for Big Success. And you can reach her at Gay, G-A-Y-E, at thepathleader.com. Gay with an E at thepathleader.com. Gay, it is so delightful always to talk with you, and you are like sunshine in a package. I mean, anybody who works with you is going to be blessed and going to be enlightened and going to be lifted to a new and higher level. And,
well, thank you, Lori Beth.
All right. Well, blessings to you all. and go out and make it a great day. And if you're a leader or a manager, think about how could you make your place a great place to work that people want to come to. Thanks, Kay. We'll be talking soon.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.